T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What was the explanation you got as far as the Contreras slide in the third?
I did not get one. Hopefully that will, I asked for one. Hopefully the league will call me tomorrow and explain that one to me. That was a tough one to understand.
But from your perspective, what did you see on that play?
Yeah, the only replay I saw was on the board, and it didn't even touch him. It didn't look like he even got him. So it looked like he could reach the base. It looked like he didn't alter his path to take him out from all the replays I saw. So hopefully there's an explanation sometime.
Yeah, hopefully there's explanation sometime, but you need things to go your way when you're playing crappy baseball, and they are and they're not. So let's get all the answers. We tried to fix the Bulls, and I think we failed at that, but maybe Maddie Lee can fix the Cubs for us. She of NBC Sports Chicago, who is on Twitter at Maddie_M_Lee, joins us on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park at apnissan.com. Maddie, how are you?
I'm good. I wish I could fix the Cubs. I think I'd get a much heftier paycheck if I was that kind of guru. But man, it's been a rough weekend.
It really has. And we have talked a lot about Wilson Contreras, not just today, but also in previous days, just because of what is going on at the plate for him when it comes to being hit by pitches. It's already up to 3 times, and it was pointed out on NBC Sports Chicago that he led the league last year with 14, which escaped me, but is clearly something that is part of the discussion. Where do you see this going from here after we've heard from David Ross, we hear from Wilson, and then he lets everybody know that he got fined $7,500 for the dust-up with the Brewers, too?
Right, yeah. I mean, he's clearly frustrated, right? And you can see why. I think getting hit in the head against the Brewers was really the big thing. That's scary. And thankfully, nothing happened. He felt fine afterwards. He didn't have any concussion symptoms. But that's always a scary moment. And then to get hit the next day, he said, you know, when he's talking about that fine, like, I was trying to protect my own health because I'm getting hit. And he keeps saying he does not think that it's intentional, but people do keep pitching him inside, and you know, there's plenty of reasons for that. There's plenty of reasons why a pitcher would want to keep coming inside. The Cubs keep saying, if you can't locate inside, don't do it, because you keep hitting our guys. But you know, you're not going to have, as a pitcher, you're not going to take away that inside pitch from yourself. But it has been scary, and it is frustrating for especially Wilson Contreras, and it's led to a couple little dust, you know, the dust up with the Brewers and then an ejection yesterday too.
And there, it's happening again. This constipated Cubs offense is doing what it's done or not doing what it's not done all too often. How much should they acknowledge it, and how much do you kind of ignore it? I mean, you don't want to speak things into existence here. No. You don't want to just sort of say, hey, this is kind of who we are, and I don't know. But like, everyone knows what's happening. I don't know the extent to which they're going to be ready to acknowledge it by just kind of saying, hey, no worries, everything's going to be fine.
Sure. They have very much stayed on message with, it's a very small sample size, right? We're 9 games into the season. And that's completely fair. We've seen things turn around really, if we look at spring training, right? Obviously, spring training is a little different with what pitchers are trying to do. But Jock Peterson looked like an absolute superhero. And he's come in and kind of struggled for the first few games. And you can expect those kinds of ups and downs throughout the season. The problem here, and I think why Cubs fans are so concerned at this point is it's a bit of a continuation of a pattern from last year. And really, we've been talking for several years about, you know, this quote unquote broken offense, and the pieces haven't changed, right? Joc Pederson is the big piece that changed in the offense, but that doesn't count as diversifying the lineup, right? And so I do think it's fair for Cub fans to kind of scratch their heads and be like, maybe this, saying, hey, our guys were not performing up to their potential last year, it should just turn around this year. Like, maybe that's not going to work. But I think they do have a point that we do have to keep in mind. It's just nine games into the season last year. The Cubs looked like the best team in the world, and we all saw that, how that happened.
That is a good point. And I will say, maybe we can't fix the Cubs, but we can at least fix our attitudes, in that I do believe there is some cause for optimism after the Pirates series. We saw Javi Baez with the golf swings in the first game of that series be effective for him. Base hit, home run. And Chris Bryant, four doubles. I feel like that is something that we can watch, hang our hats on, and say this is a sign of improvement for him based on what we saw last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And we spent so much of last year talking about how those two guys specifically were struggling. And, it was a pandemic season. Again, small sample sizes. Chris Bryant was hurt for a lot of it. No in-game video, no fans in the stands. And those guys have really gotten off to a nice start. And they're leading the team in batting average, slugging percentage. Those are good signs. And yes, some of that is because the rest of the team isn't looking very good at all. But it's, like you said, it's too early to panic quite yet. Maybe this is who this team is. Maybe we'll stumble through the season and it'll turn out that all of these worries are completely justified. Or maybe they'll turn it around. Or maybe we'll see something in between.
Meanwhile, the Cubs are still fighting to get to the 85% threshold for vaccinations for their traveling party. And I don't want to risk getting my blood pressure up and having blood vessels in my eyes start popping again, because this angers me on a deep level to no end. I know people say you got to be careful with it, but why are they indulging pseudoscience? Why are they acknowledging all of these phony baloney wrong reasons for people to not get vaccinated? And why are they soft pedaling this when other teams are already proud of being at 85% and lifting restrictions because they're getting their vaccinations? The Sox are one of those teams. The Yankees are bragging, and teams in other sports are doing it. I don't know why the Cubs are kowtowing to anti-science kooks.
Sure. Well, I'm not going to say it as strongly as you just did, but we did hear David Ross say put his foot down more than he has in the last couple weeks the other day, when he said, like, we keep talking about this 85% threshold. The goal should be 100%. And so they're trying to balance this, making sure that their players know that it's a personal choice, but also encouraging them, because like you mentioned, restrictions will be lessened, right, once they get to that 85% among tier one individuals. But also, just to make sure that you don't have an outbreak. You don't have, they just had Craig Driver tested positive for COVID-19.
Right.
And they were, so far, no one else has tested positive since that. They've been testing a lot. But it's a worry. Hopefully his symptoms don't get any worse. It seems like he's doing fine, but you never know how someone's going to react. So one positive test can be really scary and can really be, it's something that you want to limit. We keep talking about percentages with COVID, but really you never know what one individual one is going to do to someone or their family. And then you also have, there's a mental side of this, right? When you are able to have the knowledge that, all right, at least a good percentage of our team is protected against this, that could be a weight lifted. But they keep saying it's a personal choice. And it is, you know, the league has made this optional. They've wanted to make sure.
But there's a right and wrong choice. I mean, they can say what they want about it. I mean, obviously, no one's going to break. Soldiers aren't going to break into your home and put a needle into you. But I don't know why they're acknowledging the validity of one of the choice to not get vaccinated as being real or valid or based in science, because it's just not. And it's maddening to me where other teams have done a much better job of making a public example of very famous sure. people.
Well, we also don't know what those individuals' reasoning is behind it. Sure, it could be some not at all science, right? It could be a push that it could be a lot of misinformation. But, you know, there could be some people who might have a pre-existing condition and don't know how that's going to interact with a vaccine, that, you know, or an allergy or something like that. We don't know we don't know which individuals, first of all, are either deciding not to get vaccinated or are kind of waiting. And then, secondly, we don't know their reasons behind it. So I'm hesitant to come down hard on those individuals because I just don't know why they don't want to get their vaccine.
It's one phone call to a doctor. If you got an allergy or something, you got an issue, one phone call. One phone call. Ask them. You know what the doctor's going to say? It's safe. Get vaccinated. I mean, it's just, you know.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But, you know, they're also dealing with history and lots of, I mean, what they keep saying is we want to make sure that we're giving people the information. And I think they do believe that if we get our doctors to pass on the information and get these guys all of the information that we can, they're going to realize that it's safe. And so I think that's what they're trying to do. But you're right, they have taken a different, you've seen some other teams be a lot more open about these vaccines. You know, like the White Sox, we saw they are posting pictures and really encouraging the community, saying like, look, here are these community leaders and our players, and they're doing it and they're fine. And so encouraging a community as well to say, look, this is safe. This is how we get over this pandemic. And the Cubs have not done that.
Is this now a good time to ask about Zach Davies and Trevor Williams' last starts? Because I feel like this is also going to kill the vibe. How concerned are you, given what we saw out of their last two starts based on their previous outings?
I'm not concerned. Someone should probably start a drinking game with me, as I keep saying, small sample size. Maybe not this early in the morning, but
it might be appropriate, given what we've seen recently over the weekend.
Cubs fans are already ready. They've got their Bloody Marys in hand. We're two starts in, right? And they both look really good in those first starts. And now that we're getting second one, I mean, Zach Davies just saw this team a week ago. And so that's tough for a pitcher. And he talked about just not being able to adjust quickly enough in that second inning. And it was really one inning where everything fell apart, and obviously he didn't get a chance to prove that he could adjust after that because they scored 7 runs on him in one inning. But that is one factor going into that, right? And then Trevor Williams is pitching against his former team, also knows him really well. So for them, I'd say it's too early to worry. Again, just a bump in the road. I mean, will they be the pitchers that they were in their first starts or the ones that they were in this latest start? I don't think that Zach Davies is going to average an inning and 2/3 for sure. But we don't know yet how they're going to fit into this rotation. Trevor Williams has made some real adjustments from last season. We don't know how that's going to play over the course of the season. But my gut says that those were just blips.
I can't figure out if this is just because of my biases or not, but in seeing Jake Marisnyk and his approach at the plate and his ability to just like get a bat on the ball, maybe it's because we haven't watched him as part of the larger Cub offensive issues, and eventually he's going to end up being Cubbed. But I would think at this point, let him go out there with whatever plan he's had from wherever else he's been. Maybe he's earned some more plate appearances in here just because he's at least doing things that some other hitters aren't.
Well, it's funny, too, because he's not known for his offense, right? I've called him a defensive specialist for weeks until he hit, like, 3 home runs in a few games in spring training. he obviously is on a roll, right? And I think, and that's why David Ross has really tried to integrate him into the lineup early on, make sure that he's able to continue to get those bats and at bats and continue to keep that streak alive. But, you know, it's a few games.
Right. I know. I'm already grasping at straws. You know what I mean? Like, I'm already saying, like, that guy's not totally horrible. Play that guy more because he's not making me angry.
Right. Well, I think he'll certainly keep trying to get him in the lineup. We'll definitely see him against some left-handed arms, but don't make him your everyday leadoff hitter or anything like that.
You're listening to Maddie Lee listen to Dan Bernstein's grievances here on 670 The Score. No, I'm just kidding. Where is one thing that you hopped on board with, and Dan and I have talked about it, we had a good time with it, and that is the cult phenomenon that is Andrew Chafin. Yeah, you know exactly what I was talking about. And he has that picture.
I was like, oh, yep, here we go.
Yes, the man, the myth, the legend, who's also apparently in the market for a used car, as we found out on Twitter over the weekend. The picture that prompted a lot of this was the obvious shirt that he has on saying baseball player with the sunglasses tilted down and his curly hair just flying free. How do you assess Chafin mania, and where do you stand with this recent sensation?
It's amazing. I think the funniest thing for me is that no one batted an eye at him last year. Like, the Cubs picked him up at the deadline. Like, he was slow to come actually get a start because he had an injured finger, but no one noticed him, right? And suddenly, in the first couple weeks of the season, he's this huge thing. I love it. He's been pitching really well, too. I mean, that's, if we're talking about silver linings, the bullpen, after not excluding that first game, the bullpen has looked pretty good. Chafin, part of that. And it's great. I think lean all the way in. I mean, how do you not jump on board with a mustache like that?
I hope he doesn't overdo it.
Why not? I mean, is he overdoing it if it's him?
I don't know.
I feel like he doesn't even know. He knows that his followers have tripled, I think was what David Ross said. But, like, he doesn't seem like the guy who's going to actually put in any stock. And he's asking his Twitter followers for a beater. Like, he put a price range on there. Like, ridiculous.
I want to know how wide this car is, or truck. It's safe to assume it's a truck. And I'm not just saying that because I'm from Texas and you also lived in Oklahoma, but pretty sure it's a truck, right? And that's the reason he's got to get a car to, like, park around the streets and stuff.
Because he doesn't like driving it through the city. Yeah, incredible.
I mean, he could walk around town, but then people would be onto him, and God knows he'd have a flock of people following him like Austin Powers in the opening of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, we talk all the time about how baseball needs to market its players better and how a guy like Trout isn't necessarily recognizable to your average person on the street. Like, Andrew Chafin sticks out. He might be the key to baseball's getting the youth involved, right?
It's a 2001 Ford Ranger. Wow.
Yes. That's, keep it real.
Yeah, it's almost too perfect. Maddie, as always, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Maddie.
Lots of fun. Thanks, guys.
Maddie Lee, NBC Sports Chicago. It sounds like the Blackhawks have made a trade.
Oh.
That they have an acquisition with the trade deadline is 2:00, but we're going to talk about that next. We're going to give you the information on the newest Chicago Blackhawk and preview what they might be doing today. Jay Zawoski is going to jump on with all the latest news there on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The Hawks? Yeah.
We have new Blackhawks. There may be more Blackhawks. There may be former Blackhawks by the end of today. Trade deadline 2:00, and Stan Bowman apparently hard at work. Jay Zawoski covers the Blackhawks for the Madhouse podcast, and he also just so happens to be our executive producer. He has been working the phones and the texts, and he's got all kinds of information. Who should we welcome?
Yeah, the Blackhawks traded forward Matthew Highmore to the Canucks for Adam Gaudette, so a guy who's younger with more offensive upside. He's had a down year this year in Vancouver, but last season put up some really solid numbers. He's only 24 years old, 6'1", 170 center. So we're starting to see Stan Bowman's plan here. It's get guys who came in highly recruited, highly thought of, who have maybe struggled to find their mark, and hopefully they can make it here. You look at Dylan Strom's a guy like that. You know, that's sort of the way they're looking. They're trying to find cheap talent that can help them now and in the future, and this is another move in that direction.
So what you're saying is they're getting younger and more athletic?
Yes, but they're actually doing that. That's the...
They're not going to sign Wade and Rondo?
Yeah, I don't think that a 40-year-old winger is going to be signed today by any means. So, yeah, I mean, I like what Stan Bowman's doing here. And look, this is not an earth-shattering move. It's not going to change the franchise or anything. But the more of these sort of guys you take shots at, chances are two or three of these guys are going to hit. And when you start to daydream about the Hawks roster next season, if Taves comes back with a healthy Kirby Doc and all these young players with more development, Lucas Reichel possibly entering the fold next year, all of a sudden, you can sort of see them contending again pretty quickly. You know, because the goaltending thing was a big question. That seems to be solved. Now it's just a matter of what is the ceiling for a lot of these young players. And that's sort of the last piece of this puzzle, I think.
Lazarus is saying Gaudette is a restricted free agent at the end of the season. Could he be somebody that they signed to some sort of deal, given that information?
Yeah, I think it's someone that if they like the way he performs this year, they can offer a contract. They have his rights, so even if they don't, they can trade his rights. So they've got some options here. I love the fact that they're taking looks at guys, and that sort of brings me to Nikita Zadorov, who has been a polarizing player for the Hawks this year. He was the guy they got back in the Brandon Saad trade, and Hawks fans have not loved his game, and I can't really blame them. He's been really inconsistent, but there have been some moments where he's looked really good. Over the last 24 hours, there's been some steam behind that name. I know Winnipeg and Boston have been sniffing around. I don't think the Hawks would be hesitant to move someone like Zadorov, especially specifically to Zadorov, if the deal is right. We've already heard the names, Matthias Janmark and Carl Soderberg. I'd expect both those guys to be gone, but Zadorov is a guy to keep an eye on now as the day goes on.
The churning through reminds me of like when the Seattle Seahawks were doing something similar, when they had the luxury of having the quarterback on the rookie contract, and they would just keep trying guys. And it shows a lot of trust in your internal evaluators that you're going to be able to have the properly calibrated sort of filter to know, yeah, keeper, not a keeper, because they don't really have all that long, and they got to make sure that the system is right, that the fits are right, that the line mates are right, to know there's pressure in this.
And I know I like that they're not married to their prospects or their trades either. He traded for Zadorov. It traded Brandon Saad. That was a big move, but it looks like he's not going to just, because maybe it looks like he lost that trade, hang on to a guy who they don't want to pay and overpay for. This is Stan Bowman in full control. And for years, that was the question. Is John McDonough interfering? Now that he's left, people are starting to talk more. Yes, John McDonough was involved in hockey decisions. Now it's been about a year since he's been fired. The entire front office has been restructured. Stan Bowman's been given a vote of confidence. Whether you like that or not, whether you like his moves or not, at least there's a plan. You can see what the Blackhawks are doing. It makes sense. It might not work out, but there is a direct plan that they're following, and all these moves they've made this year follow that pattern.
Weird question. The Canucks practice facility is still shut down because they had a massive outbreak of this new scary COVID variant, and is Gaudette going to have to go through like a double secret decontamination process here?
Well, that's the whole thing, and you saw when they acquired Vinny Hinostroza, he drove to avoid that quarantine from the airplane. But the twist is the Canada to U.S. thing that Gaudette has to deal with. So that remains to be seen. I'm sure we'll get those details when Stan Bowman meets the media today after all the dust is cleared. But it would surprise me if he's here right away. I'm sure he'll have to quarantine for at least a week. So, yeah, that's an interesting angle on this trade deadline.
Yeah, I'd like to spray him down before he gets here. Like, what's the stuff that Luke Skywalker floats in? Bacta?
Yep. Yeah.
Put him in the Bacta tank. Like, do whatever you got to do to keep him. Or is it? Do you remember in the Andromeda strain when they go through this like ultraviolet flash and it burns a layer of skin off of you into just like this light ash to completely make it just disinfect you entirely? Like, do whatever you got to do.
Or the Purell fountain that I invented for water parks.
Yep. You guys are getting dangerously close to talking about drinking bleach. I do have one.
Layla, you inject bleach. You don't drink bleach.
I'm sorry. My fault. Okay. So the long-term look at this trade deadline, too, is how the Hawks are going to deal with their cap space. So what do you foresee happening as far as what they prioritize?
Well, you've seen they're willing to take on a little bit of salary. They know they've got some flexibility for the first time in a long time. They've got cap space to play with. That was the Brett Connolly deal coming over. That's not hugely prohibitive. It's $3.5 million. But I think if something like that presents where there's a really unmovable contract, but there's a prospect the Hawks really like, that's a deal they can make now. They can take on $5-6 million of bad money for a while and get back a prospect they really like. It happened the other way when the Hawks had to get rid of Brian Bickle's deal. It cost them Teuvo Teravainen to do that. Mm-hmm. So if they can make a deal like that happen in their favor, they're definitely open to that, and they have the ability to do that. Whether that happens remains to be seen, but they have this flexibility here for the first time, I mean, since they've been relevant, quite honestly. So it's really going to be interesting to see how things play off before, too. I'd still be surprised if any huge names go either way, but I think Janmark's going to be gone for sure. Soderberg and Zadorov are two other names to keep an eye on.
This texter says Gaudette had COVID bad and hasn't fully recovered.
Well, that's not hugely surprising. And look, when you look at the way Bowman's making trades too, the deal he made the other day with Florida, the key player in that deal is playing in Finland. So right. It's not about this year. Stan Bowman's not worried about this year. So if Gaudette is going to be a risk to the team or just isn't healthy, they can take a look at him next year. I know that's no fun for hockey fans, but Bowman is looking at this thing big picture, and that's truly what he should be doing. Any sort of playoff berth this year, great, fine, have fun. Here's, you know, 4 to 7 extra games, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're looking at 2-3 years down the road, and that's how Bowman seems to be looking at things as well.
Thank you, Jay. That's good stuff. We just got you updated on everything you need to know as a Blackhawks fan for the 2 o'clock NHL trade deadline. Next up, we had a positive sports occurrence that hit close to home for you.
Yeah, we had to get to the end of the show to talk about a good sports thing. We made it 3 hours almost.
There we go. Well, we got more baseball and basketball coming your way tonight. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So let's have a little island of happiness next.
The sun came out. It's tomorrow. Oh, God. There's a good sports thing on the other side of this break. Today,
there'll be sun.
Oh.
That's next on The Score.
This is Ian Happ, your center fielder from the north side. Connect Roasters and I are happy to announce the Home Run Club, a coffee subscription for baseball fans. You'll get freshly roasted coffee shipped to your door on the first of every month, access to exclusive game-used merch, personal notes from me, and most importantly, when I hit a home run, you'll get $5 towards coffee and merch on connectroasters.com. Our goal is to have 1,000 members enjoying great coffee and giving back to the community. For more information, go to connectroasters.com or homerunclub.coffee. Together, we can make a difference, one cup at a time.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The Mean Green!
Didn't think this was going to be need to play it again, but apparently it is. Also, guys, no.
Do you know the words?
That's, well, ironically, the first two lines are, let's go North Texas, run up the score. Who are we running the score up on?
Let's go North Texas.
Guys, there's no way that was my actual real singing voice. What in the heck is the point in that? Matt Spiegel is the only one allowed on this radio station to actually do his real singing voice. You might catch him at, like, church or something. And maybe singing the North Texas Pride song. That's not why you called, as we like to say on this show. So this was a really cool headline that came across last night in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, for all of our sadness about pitching. North Texas softball pitcher Hope Troutwine faced 21 batters, 21 strikeouts. Go Mean Green.
What
a perfect, perfect game.
Was it an immaculate game? Was it the minimum number of pitches?
Let's see. It was the first perfect game in North Texas history, believed to be the first perfect 7-inning game in NCAA Division I history, with every out being a strikeout. But I think she had more than just
63
the minimum amount of pitches.
Pitches, okay. Because, I mean, that's incredible. Like, that doesn't happen ever.
She also had 21 strikeouts in a 7-inning game in her first start this season, but the right-hander also gave up 5 hits and 2 runs in a 6-2 win against Southeastern Louisiana. That was on February 13th.
The North Texas Fight Song was written by alumnus Francis Stroop in the fall of 1939. The lyrics are, "Let's give a cheer for U of NT, cheer for the green and white, victories in store, whate'er the score, our team will ever fight. Fight, 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 shoulder to shoulder we march along, striving for victory, playing the game for the honor and fame and glory of UNT. UNT Eagles, UNT Eagles, fight, fight, fight."
Which is, which is interesting because they were North Texas State University until 1990. So I don't know how that could have been written with UNT.
This is the official Mean Green website.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Mean Green!
But yeah, no, that wasn't my actual singing voice, guys. Like, that's ridiculous. But that I just thought that that was an amazing feat. That's not something you hear about every day. Not even like the great Cat Osterman has been able to accomplish that. NCAA records list, 2 other pitchers with 21 strikeouts in a 7-inning game. Neither of those were a perfect game. It was Alexis Osorio for Alabama. That happened in 2018 against Fordham. And Michelle Granger against Creighton in 1991 for Cal. So this is a first-timer.
And before you ask, no, I don't know the lyrics to the Duke fight song. I know it. And at one point, I think I probably could have done the cheer routine to it because we saw it that often. We're at so many basketball games. At one point, my friend Tim Kelly is like, "Hey, watch." And like, "Oh, my God, how do you?" He's like, "I don't know. I just realized I could do the entire cheerleading routine." That man is now a federal judge in the Ninth Circuit.
I would pay good money to see that. And I know how to do the Wabash cannonball for Texas because that's such a common routine.
That man is a Trump-appointed federal judge who at one point I was watching him do the entire cheerleading routine to fight.
He's a dookie.
To fight Blue Devils fight. And
people
they actually
have fun.
But they changed the lyrics too because I thought the lyrics were different because of how the Cameron Crazies always sang it, which was, and I thought those were the real lyrics and they're not. It was like, "Duke is out to win today, Carolina go to hell, beat state." And that turned into "Carolina go to hell, eat blank."
Steak?
No. And I thought those were the actual lyrics. Like, wow, this is some pretty out there kind of fight song. But it's actually, "Duke is out to win today, Carolina good night." And then the other part was just added in, ad-libbed over the years, I guess. And the alma mater, like, I didn't know any of these lyrics.
Also, whoever told us on the text line to bathe the new Blackhawk in Malort.
Yep. It kills everything and cures everything.
Bathe them in Malort. We'll kill everything inside and out. Perfect Chicago welcome. That made me laugh a lot. That's good times.
The Mean Green!
That's pretty great. It's been a good month for us. It's been a good month.
And why are you so self-conscious about your singing voice? I thought it sounded lovely.
No, like, I would never, that's not anybody's real singing voice. It's ridiculous.
Okay, but we could do competing songs from Annie if you want.
The only thing I want to do is harmonize the
I could do Ms. Hannigan if you want.
Oh, nice. I'd have to remember musicals. But like, no, I would definitely harmonize with Spiegel, the Woe, but that's
some
about it.
Women are dripping with diamonds. Some women are dripping with pearls. Come on. Miss Hannigan, right? Lucky me, lucky me.
I don't know because I wasn't a huge musical watcher. I just knew all the dance numbers because of dance.
Oh. Yeah. But you could probably sing, though. You probably have training.
I preferred to play a stringed instrument like an orc dork. I stopped singing a while back. But no, that's not my real singing voice. It's nobody's real singing voice. It's like, all we need is like a cowbell and Parkin screaming and we figure it out.
Well, that goes for any show.
I just want the band. I want our band. It's going to be great. Speed's going to sing and play trumpet. I'm going to play viola. Nobody's going to have any melody. It's going to be awesome. Jer, you went on this?
We got to get Rick Tellender in here to do that again.
Oh my God.
Remember that? The every day the performance they would do?
The blues band.
What?
Oh yeah.
Yep. What? You guys don't sound... Your reaction is not entirely
It was quality
positive.
Radio. Let's go to break.
Oh, boy. Okay. Lawrence Holmes will join us next for Transition on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.